You're listening to the Fear Free Childbirth Show here on UK Health Radio with me, Alexia Leachman. Let me help you to take the fear out of pregnancy, birth, and beyond with a mix of real life stories and experts sharing their wisdom. I'll also be sharing psychology insights to help you to cultivate a fearless mindset. Be inspired and be empowered with Fear Free Childbirth. And now it's time for the show. Hello and welcome back to the Fear Free Childbirth podcast. My name is Alexia Leachman. Thank you so much for joining me today. On today's show, I'm going to be diving into the topic of how can we reduce conflict and backlash in the birth space. So this is really a conversation that is best suited for the professionals that work in birth, the midwives, the doulas, the lactation consultants, the childbirth educators. In fact, if you're somebody that supports families on the pregnancy and birth journey, then this conversation is for you. But that's not to say that if you're pregnant, that there's no value in this conversation either, because, oh my goodness, yes, there is. This is a conversation that I think everyone who is interested in birth, whether that's because you're pregnant or because you work with people who are pregnant, this is such an important conversation because there is conflict in birth. There are days when people are rude, that feel misunderstood, that ignore people, that treat them with disrespect, that feel like they're not being listened to, that maybe feel like they're being disrespected. And so these are features of many people's lives, whether it's a job in birth or even whether you work in a call center or somewhere else. These are just human things, right? They're when we have a bad day at the office, these are the kind of things that we experience where we feel that somebody hasn't listened to us, somebody has bullied us, somebody has treated us badly and not given us the opportunity to get what we want out of a situation. This is why this is a conversation that needs to happen, because when it comes to birth, there are some very important things happening, i.e. there's a baby being born. There is a woman making the transition into being a mother. This is an important time in her life. And of course, because it's birth, it means that we are in the realms of possibility of very difficult situations unfolding. Life or death could be within moments of happening. So of course there's stress, of course there's anxiety from all sides. And so when we realise the cooking pot that is the birth space and how much emotion is involved, you know, there are people involved that have been working long hours. You know, labour can go into 24 hours. It can get exhausting. There can be frayed nerves. So, you know, within this context, it's easy to understand that there are times when people maybe don't treat others with respect, that maybe do lash out and maybe it's not required. And so this is what I want to talk about today, because it's a conversation that needs to happen. Because we often hear talking about the toxicity in the system, in inverted commas, toxicity in the hospital environments, medical environments, where maybe midwives don't always feel like they can do the best they want to do because of the system, again, in inverted commas. And so today in this conversation, I want to dig into that and try and figure out what are we talking about when we're talking about the system? Whose system? And what can we do to maybe reduce this conflict so that all of these professionals that are involved in supporting families can work together? Because let's remember, the overall objective here is to help families bring a new little baby into the world and for that experience to be as positive as possible, for the woman to have an experience that she's going to remember fondly, for the baby to come into the world and for that not to be a difficult and traumatic experience for them. This is what we all want. Anybody that gets into the world of birth to work is doing it because they desperately want to make that happen for families. But sometimes it doesn't always go the way we want. So today I'm going to be joined by Jenny Coslow, and we're going to be diving into maybe what is going on here and what can we do about it as professionals that support families. And if you're sitting here pregnant, listening to this going, oh, well, this isn't a conversation for me, then let me stop you right there. It absolutely is. Part of this conversation also talks about the importance of preparing for birth and how this can be such a huge determining factor in this whole cocktail of what's going on. So don't think you can get away that easily with not listening to this episode. So as I'm sure you'll agree, this is an important conversation to have. And so I thought I would get somebody who is very well placed to have this conversation. This is somebody that acts as a go-between between these different groups of people, the different professionals, to help to do just that, to help to reduce this conflict that is going on in the workplace. And this person is Jenny Coslow. Jenny works all over the world in helping birth professionals to work more respectfully together, to better understand each other, to help to take that conflict and backlash out of the birthplace. Because ultimately, what we're all here to do is to help families to have wonderful birth experiences. And that's what she is committed to. And one of the best ways that we can do that is to ensure that all the professionals involved work together to this common goal of supporting families and placing families at the centre of their care. So this conversation, I think, is going to push a few buttons, if I'm honest. I think there are going to be some people sitting here listening to this going, what? They're all going to be triggered left, right and centre. And my word to you is, if that's you, then make a note of your triggers. Make a note of what's going on and why you're annoyed at what Jenny is saying, because that's a hint that you probably need to do some head trash clearance. So you might be triggered. And if you are, brilliant, lap it up. Welcome the triggers. Welcome the comments that maybe don't sit well with you, that make you feel uncomfortable, because that's what this is about. We are not going to get through this if we're constantly pussyfooting around the issues that need to be said. So I might sound a bit feisty right now, but I mean it. There are difficult conversations to be had. And the only way that we're going to get through this is if we take a look in the mirror. And if you're not looking in the mirror to take a hard look at yourself, then maybe you need somebody else to hold that up at you. And maybe this episode is that. So when you do listen to this conversation, ask yourself whether or not you're guilty of any of these things. Ask yourself, what is it that you could do to help not behave in this way when you're with others? Are you guilty of some of these things? You know, maybe you feel that you're on the receiving end of some of these treatment, the way that you're being treated by this, but maybe you dish it out too. This is time to be honest with yourself, because it's only by being honest with who we are and how we are in the world that we can bring about positive change. And it's with that intention that I'm putting out this episode, and it's with that intention that Jenny joined me for this conversation. So I do hope that is how you receive it. Listen, and well, maybe not enjoy, but listen and take heart. Hello, Jenny. Welcome to this conversation that we're going to have all about reducing conflict and backlash in the birth space. So I can't wait for this. So just tell us a little bit about like who you are and what you do, so that people have got a little bit of context for this conversation.
Yes. Well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me, because I'm really excited to talk about this. I'm a perinatal educator with about 40 years of experience, but I also travel a lot. So I am a person who loves to listen to people's stories. And I realized that I had accumulated hundreds and hundreds of stories between birth workers. I mean, also with mothers, but mainly with OBGYNs and with doulas and with midwives and with obstetrical nurses and with breastfeeding, lactation consultants. I'm thinking in Spanish because I usually work in Spanish, so you can see my mind making the translation. So anyway, I was just getting all of these stories in countries all over the world. And I thought, this is so helpful, because if people could just hear what others are saying about them or thinking about them, there would be so much better understanding, and we could work more collaboratively. Because what I find is most of the stories are about, they don't respect us and we feel invisible and they have to stop doing this. And it was so much about them that I was thinking, where did the gestational family go? Where's the couple? Where's the new mother? And all of that. So I started to offer to do lectures, basically, on what I was experiencing as a listener, so that we could maybe have a better understanding of where the obstacles are and are being able to move forward for the betterment of maternity healthcare workers, but also, and most importantly, for the new family. Mm. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. What a little bit of what those stories are, what they're saying.
Yeah. And it's really interesting because a lot of people, they can be so focused on self in that environment because it can be so highly pressured or highly, you know, people are tired. They maybe don't have their full resources available to them because they're exhausted. They're probably suffering from anxiety and the pressures of maybe working long hours. And so they're not their best self in those environments, but also maybe they've just got a lot of unresolved stuff of their own and they're getting triggered a lot. And so all of this is showing up in some of the ways that you described. Is that how you see maybe some of this, the reason behind some of this, or is it, what are your thoughts?
I do a lot of social experimentation. So I do informal surveys on the street. I have get-togethers with people I don't know to see how open they are to meeting people for the first time. I'm fascinated by the human condition and social settings. And I love group process. But I think it's a little bit of feeling that they could talk to me. It was a safe place because I was passing through. I wasn't gossiping. I wasn't gathering the information to use it against them. I was genuinely curious and open to wanting to hear their story and really feeling that it could end up helping others. And so people I found were very, very forthcoming with their very, very personal feelings about the frustrations they had as a birth worker. And I go to a lot of events. I just went to the Midwifery Today conference in Germany. I go to all sorts of events in the whole spectrum of the birth world to really kind of be a listener on the sideline and say, wow, I don't even think they're aware how they're coming off as being very either open to change or resistant to change or where the focus was. And I think I'm very perceptive. I have kind of an intuitive way of really kind of hitting the mark with what people were actually trying to say, what was underneath the words. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a lovely thing when we can be a little bit more humble and say, yes, we really do need to improve and we are doing good things, each of us. But so much of the criticism I found given from one group to another was exactly what they themselves were doing, and maybe even worse.
So some of these groups, are we talking maybe midwives versus lactation consultants versus doulas, these kind of different professions that maybe interact and come together along the journey of that new family or the family that's about to, you know, bring a little new human into the world? Is it, and the intersection as to where all these professionals maybe have contact with each other? Is that what you mean?
Exactly. So it's the circle of care, which was a very basic International Childbirth Education Association concept way back in the, you know, the 70s. And it's really a wonderful idea how we each basically putting the pregnant woman and her partner and the baby to be in the center, all the professionals who were all just as important and were contributing something that was absolutely necessary. But then we need to talk about how are they all getting along with each other, and they're really not getting along very well. So again, that's my perspective, standing back and looking at all that. And the way I explain it when I give workshops and the rest, I'm just going to use a piece of paper. I'm very analog. I use very little technology, just to kind of explain that when we look at the birth world today, I'm going to actually divide it. And I'm going to say that basically there's what I call a biomedical side, and there's a more naturalistic side. And we can change those words. The words don't matter. But basically, we have these two sides. And what we're going to find is we're going to find extremes. So if I were to ask you, what would be the most extremely natural birth that comes to mind, what would you say?
Lotus birth, probably, or a free birth.
Right. And we're actually getting to, like, in the open air, we're having free birthing is over on this side, lotus birth exactly. We're getting to that kind of a birth experience. And when we go over to the more medical side and we go to the extreme, the extremely medicalized birth, what would come to mind?
C-section.
can go way, way more than that.
Okay.
It becomes so normalized that it's not considered an extreme anymore. So, we're getting into surrogacy. We're getting into artificial wombs. We're getting fertility treatments that are, you know, we're really going way beyond the, you know, if we were to divide this into thinking that anatomy is basically, it's a machine that's working, you know, there's more of the idea of a mechanical way of giving birth this way, a more natural humanistic side on this side. And when we look at this, you know, it's broken up. Basically, we have birth in private clinics. We have birth in public hospitals. We go over to the other side and we have birthing centers, birthing homes. And then we have home birth. And each one of these has professionals that basically represent each of these places to have births. So we're basically talking about OBGYNs, their surgeons, et cetera. And the type of birth we're mainly going to see in this setting are C-sections, cesareans. Okay. Then we move over to public hospitals. We do have anesthesia in some of them, not all of them. And we're basically, depending on where you are in the world, but you're having obstetrical nurses, for example, in all of Latin America, there are obstetrical nurses who are basically the ones delivering those babies. You have midwives in other parts of the world, et cetera, basically doing it. And the OBGYN comes in when there's a complication. But the most of births will be handled by these midwives or obstetrical nurses. And they will be vaginal births. Some will be with epidural, and there will be some cesarean sections. Okay, so there's from a minimal to a maximum amount of medical intervention happening on this side. When we go over to birthing centers, birthing homes, we're going to usually find midwives who are the ones running them. And we're talking about vaginal birth with basically very, very little medical intervention. Okay, and home births, these are independent midwives, autonomous midwives, and then we're even getting into here, we're getting into traditional midwives, okay, that are more in rural areas and have a tradition, you know, we're talking about Mexico and many places where they have this wonderful tradition. So each one of these has kind of like a value system, a set of protocols in their minds, a manual. It's not real, but on how you act when you represent this group. So like if you're over here, if I observe, I will go to many lectures or courses or training classes, and I just observe. I'm not so interested in what they're saying. I'm interested in how they're saying, because that's my specialty. It's in teaching methodologies. And they will dress a certain way on this side, different than here. They will wear different perfume if they wear perfume at all. They'll use incense. They'll have certain kinds of shoes. They'll believe in, I mean, the whole thing is set up that there's a certain way you act when you are part of this system. Unfortunately, this side thinks that this is the system. But this is also a system. It's the non-system. It's that we don't like the system. Okay, so this is also a system. And basically, this system, for all its faults, is busy doing their day-to-day job, and they're just minding their business in great part. This side spends lots of time and energy discrediting the system. I mean, it's almost like a full-time job. They need to basically say what's wrong with this side in order to justify why they are necessary. And we have new professionals, you know, on the field. We have people who feel very disempowered. We have midwives in hospitals that feel that the values of midwifery have been taken from them. They're very frustrated. There's some things that everyone has in common, basically that the OBGYNs are a big problem with humanized birth and respected birth, but we're also overlooking that every day I'm noticing changes, and they are happening. can tell you that there are OBGYNs who have crossed the aisle and learned how to be doulas. And these are OBGYNs. We see more people on this side wanting to get more of the psycho-emotional support, the humanistic values, than we see people on this side doing the hard work of getting better skills in physiology. And for example, the doula movement, which has been an amazing movement, I mean, talk about successful. I think one of the problems that it's created a lot of wonderful things for people, but it happened very quickly and very successfully. And all of a sudden, we had doula training courses for the last 20 years that basically have become a huge business. But since it works in the realm of service, and I like to say, I'm also a doula, just to mention that, that there, you know, that it translates in the Greek meaning servant. But then we have this whole thing about business and how to, you know, how to be compensated, and of course all those things. So it is a big business, okay? That doesn't mean there's anything wrong with that, but then we can't get credit for being altruistic, which is what I heard in the interview the other day. It's like, it isn't altruism. It's not philanthropy. It's a business, okay? And since it has to do with empathy and kindness and supporting each other and all those lovely, wonderful things, there is a big conflict with how to present themselves. So you just have to be kind of like honest about it. So because there's so many doula training programs all over the world, some of them are like, come to Costa Rica for a weekend and, you know, we'll do some yoga and you get to go home with a certificate that says you've been trained as a doula. We have what I've seen, and I was formally trained as a perinatal educator in the United States almost 40 years ago. All the prenatal education training courses started to see that people didn't want to do that anymore. They really wanted to be doulas. The doulas was the big thing. So they all kind of downsized their prenatal education part and they became doula trainers as well. And it became a very big business because that's where all the money was. I hate to say that, but what do you want me to say? I mean, it became this big business. We now have a surplus of doulas in the world that are trained, but have very, very little experience, have only seen two births. One was their own and one was their best friend's, you know? And so we have doulas basically preparing their couples, but they don't necessarily have the experience and especially the basics in physiology to do it properly. So what do we see? We see people who sit down and with all this passion and things, you know, without the subtleties, but these blocks of generalizations, tell couples this is what will happen in labor. And there's a responsibility that comes from preparing couples for childbirth. I mean, you have to kind of be able to say, this is what I know and this is what I don't know. And so I'm not going to talk about physiology because it's not my field. I'm going to invite an OBGYN, an obstetrical nurse, or a midwife to come and give that part of it. You know, it's like that kind of being able to delineate where we can contribute and where we shouldn't because it's not ethical. I don't see that happening in the birth world. So I see a lot of blurred lines.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When it comes to childbirth education, where does that sit? Because in the UK, which is where I went through my pregnancies, it's up to the parent to go and seek that out. So, and then you have to spend money on that. And some people don't. They just don't have the budget and they choose not to do that because they can't afford it for whatever reason. So there's a gap. It's not like, I don't know, I get a sense maybe that you're saying that doulas have come in and now there's no childbirth educators, but actually, I don't think there's a system or a way of educating not just women but everybody as to birth. I mean, that should really be happening at school as far as I'm concerned.
Totally.
Because it's broken, right?
Well, so, we act like we have this secret knowledge, you know, and it's almost like played up, like we're gonna give you this, but it's basic knowledge that just isn't being taught. That should be taught from the very. I mean, I've given sex education classes to 11-year-olds, and their questions are fantastic. But neither they nor their mothers, neither their grandmothers would understand the answer because they don't have a context, because they don't have an understanding of even how their body works. But the UK is an example where prenatal education, antenatal classes are taken seriously. Most hospitals will have them. But in other places of the world, it doesn't exist at all. But there are countries, Costa Rica is one of them, and a lot of Latin countries where Mexico isn't, unfortunately, but where in the public hospitals, part of the service they give is a course. And most people will take that prenatal course. But now we have to understand that these things carry, there's status involved. So there's status involved with a private clinic cesarean, scheduled cesarean, but there's also status in a home birth with a midwife. As much as, you know, people don't want to recognize that, these are both status symbols. And the only way of giving birth in this continuum is public health hospital that doesn't cost any money, but the rest do. So that creates a mix in the demographic of who can actually use them. But what we have are people, because of so much information on the internet, basically thinking that they can Google anything they really need. There isn't really the whole idea of preparing for childbirth has been taken out of the equation of having a respectful, humanized, positive birth experience. Why don't we talk more about preparation? That is a big component in having a good. We have on this side, we have institutionalized childbirth education, which basically just tells you this is the way you're going to have the baby because this is the way we attend births in this hospital. And they want you to be a good patient. So they don't tell you all the other ways to give birth and everything else. Whereas on this side, basically, even though they often say that they're open and objective and don't demonize having a birth in the hospital, they really, you know, if I were to observe them, listen to the choice of words, the body language and whatnot, there definitely is a feeling of having a birth here is better than having a birth here. And what we really have to see is, you know, is that our place to kind of tell people that when maybe some people, the values that they get here, which is reliability, more control, more predictability, hierarchy in case of a complication, safety, those things might be more important to some people than human kindness, accompaniment, more natural birth, you know, and those things, each person has to find out what really is right for them at that moment. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of fear-based decision-making coming from this side, and that is true. And decisions based on information that isn't necessarily accurate. But it also happens here where there's confirmation bias and the information that's given here is really tailored to fit the belief system of the people on this side. So it's also not, there's evidence that isn't always reliable, you know? So we choose what evidence we want to use. It's not really being objective. And I am just asking to have that open conversation. So I think, for example, this side, there's a lot more authority. And some people expecting their first baby, they want to feel that they are in company with someone with authority. It makes them feel more confident. And here, when I try and work with new professionals about standing in their authority, I'll either get total denial or I'll get people say, yeah, I really have a conflict with being authoritative because I feel that I'm like taking advantage of the person and not giving them that horizontal relationship. But that horizontal relationship, I think, is a fallacy. What horizontal relationship? If it's a horizontal relationship, then I might as well just ask my neighbor to come with me at my birth. The reason these people are professionals is because they have certain skill sets that makes them different than their client, patient, or student. And so the discussion of authority, I think, is a big issue. You know, I find there's a lot of trepidation with new doulas kind of assuming authority or taking too much authority. And there's a lot of authority here because it's true. This system requires it. But people saying that they're no longer satisfied personally with having all the authority and they want to learn how to share it more with their patients, clients, and students.
Do you think that this imbalance in authority, or it's not necessarily in authority, but it's how the professional feels about their authoritative status, let's say, mm-hmm. on the system side that you've outlined, most people within that framework are employed and it's their job. So they have a full-time job and they are a nurse, an OBGYN, they pull a salary. And so they're relying on the authority of their employer. You know, they work for a hospital and they're kind of borrowing that authority, even though internally they might not feel very much in their power. Whereas on the other side of your chart, you've got people that work for themselves that are self-employed. And the minute you work for yourself, there's a huge piece there around whether I feel I have that authority that it's very easy to borrow when you're being employed and you can borrow the brand or the organization in which you work. And as somebody that's gone from kind of being employed to working for myself, I definitely can attest to that sense of, you know, I'm still doing the same stuff, but where I just felt a lot more authoritative when I had the brand and the business around me than when I was doing on my own. And sure. So we have these, because the other side of your chart, the natural side, for want of a better word, is full of maybe independent freelancers, you know, people that work for themselves. And so they've got a bigger job, internal job, I feel, to do in order to feel that same sense of authority and confidence in their work that maybe those that are on the institutionalized side don't have to do. And maybe they might be a little bit overconfident in their authority, maybe act too much and therefore maybe come across a little bit more, I don't know, not arrogant, but maybe, you know, sort of, yeah, this is how it's going to go down, whether you like it or not, honey, you've done it here, we're doing it this way. And this is where maybe, this is where some families do feel they've lost control of that birth experience because they're now being told what to do and they don't feel like they have choice in the same way. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on this idea that
organization... Well, I think that's a really good point, but I think it's more of an internal thing than an external thing. It's more of... when the person speaks with the pregnant woman, it's the relationship that that person is creating, whether it's 5 minutes in a prenatal consultation or whether it's, you know, during the birth or in a prenatal class or in the interview with the doula or, you know, it's how we communicate and how much of ourselves do we share, as much the personal with a professional. It's that right balance of both. And so this idea, midwives, autonomous midwives, they're badasses. They got a lot of, they don't need any help with their authority. I would say it's more the new professionals that are more new on the scene, that have a lot of passion and a lot of desire to serve and be empathetic, but don't have enough experience and basics in physiology to feel confident enough to project authority. And there's nothing, it's almost like it's a dirty word. It's almost like if I'm an empathetic person, then being authoritative is like contrary to that. And it's really not, in my opinion. So on the other side, you have people who feel that their authority has been supplanted, that it's dictated to them, that it's, there's all these regulations and protocols, and it's very difficult to work in that setting. These are individuals who need to connect with their patient in a way that they're respected, but they're also where a relationship is formed based on a heart-to-heart connection. This is what they know they need. This is why they chose this field to go into it. And they have to somehow work with a system that doesn't always allow that to happen. And it's not because they don't want it to happen. It's that it's quite difficult to do. And I think they deserve a lot more respect and recognition for how difficult it is to work in that system with the values that they have. And what they don't get is respect from the other side, frankly. It's almost like there's this kind of insinuation that until they break out on their own and become an independent midwife with home birth, then will they actually be truly able to be the midwives that they should be. But most babies are born in hospitals. I mean, that's where the work has to be done. Granted, we have more home births and it's wonderful, and water birth and doulas, all these things are fantastic. But we can't just dump the other side and say that that only this side is the valid side. You know, I feel that most women, if they were given the chance and could financially afford it, would want to go to a birthing center. And if you look around the world, this is the most discriminated way of having a baby. They make it very difficult to open birth centers. The governments, the Ministry of Health, they make it quite difficult. So when there's a successful birth home that opens anywhere around the world, we want to applaud that, because that's not the extreme. It's getting more around the middle. And I feel that the changes that are really going to happen are going to be in this space, where we use a little bit of this and a little bit of that, but it's not one or the other. And when we go way into the extremes, that should be a choice for some people, but most people will not want to have that kind of an experience. And here we have a lot of activism. Here we might have a little bit more advocacy. You know, there's a lot of really angry people that want to almost prepare their client to go out like a good soldier and battle the system and make it better. And I don't feel that that's their place, frankly. We have efforts in all the categories trying to make changes, even though this is seen as they aren't, but they really are. It's changing in the right direction around the world. I personally like hospitals that employ doulas as part of their staff. For me, that is a win-win. That's taking the qualities of both sides and offering something that really will help the couples. But then you'll have doulas saying, well, they're not real doulas because they're working for a hospital. And, you know, real doulas can't work for a hospital because then they become part of the system. And I don't think that's fair. Again, I don't want to sound like I'm just bashing the doula movement, because there are amazing individuals out there doing incredible things that are just absolutely, they go unrecognized, and these people do it for all the right reasons. But as groups, I find a lot of resistance to recognizing where they could improve.
Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So what's happening in the hospital side that's improving then? Because there is a lot of fear within that system. It's a very toxic system, typically. The UK is incredibly toxic with midwives that are just, morale is at the, on the floor. You know, they're overworked, underpaid. And so, and I don't, you know, I can't speak in terms of other countries. Then in France, they're not really allowed home births. I mean, for a woman to have a home birth, she's got to jump through so many hoops and pay so much money to be able to do that. Yeah. So there's a lot of, you know, the hospital environment does seem to be the place where a lot of births are geared towards, but also there is inherently a lot of fear within that system. One, because the system itself is incredibly toxic. There are lots of people that are worried about losing their jobs, that have got lots of unresolved trauma, that are projecting fears of their own. I mean, it feels like it's a melting pot that doesn't seem to be dissipating that fear and moving. So I'd love to hear, when you're saying it's changing and it's changing for the better, what are some of the things that are happening? Because that's
I think the more we keep saying it's toxic, I mean, there are a lot of people working every day doing great things in that system that is just, you know, you can't just say it's all toxic. It's not. They don't have the support of all of you because you're like, you're in this toxic system, then it's not true. Then why do we keep saying that? There are many hospitals that are outdated and are stuck, but it's the individual in these hospitals. It's not an entity. It's the individuals that work there every day. And you don't know what personal thing each one is doing with a certain patient to make that patient feel better. How many times a day going home every night and going back the next day and doing it. And knowing that all you people are just saying it's a bunch of crap what they're doing, it's this toxic system, there's no, it's like, that's not helping. How are you helping these people? You're not, I'm not meaning you, but they're not being recognized, they're not being for what they do, and it's just like thrown into this huge category. For example, I'll just take an example in Argentina. In Argentina, we have a hospital in Bahia Blanca, it's not even in Buenos Aires. They all went and did a water birth course with Barbara Harper, and they just, you know, and they got some money from I don't know where, this hospital, and they decided to invest in a whole big natural birth wing of the maternity hospital. But they realized that they didn't really have They couldn't really train the staff because they hadn't been doing non-interventive birth. And so they asked a local prenatal educator and doula, who had been very professional, who has a basis in education, if she would create a training program for the staff, which she did, which ended up being amazing. The whole staff was so enthusiastic. They started to have these non-intervention births with water birth or not. And the response started to be amazing. And the two other hospitals in the city said, well, we want to do it too. And I mean, those things are happening.
That sounds incredible.
It's amazing. And they crossed the aisle into a non-medical person and asked that person to train them. I mean, that is amazing. And that there are examples of that, and I could give you lots of them. We have in Hyderabad, India, in the Fernandez Hospital, for example, they have a great prenatal education program, and they talk to the couples about choices, and the couple chooses, do I want a gynecologist to attend my birth? Do I want a midwife to train my birth? Do I want a doula present? They make these choices and they give them the options. It's not like you either get this or this. It's no. These are the advantages of having an OBGYN. These are the advantages of having a midwife. These are the advantages of having or not a doula. And they just make the choice. But there's not this kind of like, we only represent one type of birthing. No, they're opening up to including other ways. And there are changes like that. I mean, we have cases of, we have like Doctora Susana Bueno in Colombia. She started to get involved with the indigenous community. So when they start looking at what's happening in the indigenous populations, there's examples of this. I have a bunch of them where the traditional hospital started to open their minds to including other ways of birthing, thanks to the influence of studying their own local indigenous populations. They painted the birth room so they would be more the colors and the way that the indigenous population would want to have. I mean, there are these openings of trying to work collaboratively and broaden their services, being more humanistic for the sake of everybody. But we've got to stop bashing them all and putting them in a category like they're all toxic. They're not.
But it sounds like some of those initiatives are coming from the top. They're coming down. And so where there isn't that maybe leadership that is going for change, then you have the people that are on the coalface, the front line of healthcare, which is like the midwives, those that are giving care directly to those that are needing the care, doing the very best they can in that front line position, but not getting the support from managers, and maybe is that where this conflict is coming, where you've got these people that are doing amazing work and doing what they can to not feel like the system's making them do it a certain way. And they're creating these moments, these pockets of magic and wonder, but they're not being supported within that environment themselves.
No, but they're getting, there's resources they can get. So there's many midwives who are trained with, for example, Nuria Vives, which is, I don't know how to translate this. It's like birth with movement, sensory awareness. Many, 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 almost, I mean, I can't tell you how many midwives in Spain have received her courses. There's the Lakshmi method, many, many, many midwives. There's Esther Navarro, who did hypnobirth style training. Many, many, many midwives from all of the hospitals in the country have received training. I mean, they're getting outside training and it's improving greatly what they're doing. And so they're branching out beyond, the hospitals are looking for continued education from different sources.
And are we seeing a change in birth outcomes in Spain? Like this pace of change or this change that's going on in Spain, are we seeing anything happening at in terms of, let's say, the C-section rate changing or the rates of not satisfaction of birth experiences among women? I don't know if they track that, but what's all that bringing about in terms of the experience of the family? Do we know what impact that's having?
Well, I mean, it's the C-section rate is extraordinarily high in private clinics. Basically, wherever there's a dollar to be made, whether it's in India or it's in Chile or, you know, it's in Mexico, it's almost 90 to 100% cesarean section rate. That's an abomination. That is something that, I mean, that is absolutely unacceptable. And why there hasn't been more outrage since 30 years ago when it started to happen, I don't understand. This is a huge topic that is just, you know, that's definitely not a lot we can do with the private clinics. They're becoming more and more, they appear to be, well, you know, we offer water birth and birth plans, and it's all just fake commercialization in order to look like they're open to natural birth, but they are not. Okay, so I am saying, I'm not going to even talk about this, but this is a big problem. There's no question. And that's basically where OBGYNs are. And that's where almost everybody else that agrees that that is a huge problem. So I'm focusing, when I say, when we talk about this, the toxicity, this, I agree with you, and that we'll have to do in another conversation. But I'm trying to get more open-mindedness about public hospitals, because that's where most people are giving birth in the world.
Mm.
And we can't just dump it saying, you know, it's just stuck in this horrible system. No, it's really, we have to look at what it entails to work in these systems and how people on their own are trying to make a difference. And they just need a little bit of support from this side and stop bashing them so much, you know, work, help them, ask them to come give part of your class, listen to them, respect them, you know, because what we have is so much resentment between public hospital midwives and obstetrical nurses and doulas, for example. It is big, the resentment, very, very big.
I'm afraid I need to cut the conversation there because of time restrictions here on UK Health Radio. If you'd like to hear the remainder of this conversation, then head over to fearfreechildbirth.com, where you can listen to another 20 minutes of us talking through how to tackle the conflict that we experience in the birth space. Until next time, bye for now.
You've been listening to the Fear Free Childbirth Show here on UK Health Radio with me, Alexia Leachman. Fear Free Childbirth is the online destination for women seeking to take the fear out of pregnancy, birth, and beyond, with fear clearance meditations, self-healing products and courses, professional training, and specialist programs for overcoming tocophobia. And if you've enjoyed this episode, then check out the Fear Free Childbirth Mamaship. It's a bit like Netflix, where you can binge on a boatload more of Fear Free Childbirth content to inspire you on the journey to motherhood and beyond. More interviews, more birth stories, more expert wisdom. Visit fearfreechildbirth.com to find out more.